We're starting chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, called The Unbreakable Vow. Snow was swirling against the icy windows once more. Christmas was approaching fast. Hagrid had already single-handedly delivered the usual 12 Christmas trees for the Great Hall. Garlands of holly and tinsel had been twisted around the banisters of the stairs. Everlasting candles glowed from inside the helmets of suits of armor, and great bunches of mistletoe had been hung at intervals around the corridors. Large groups of girls tended to converge underneath the mistletoe bunches every time Harry went past, which caused blockages in the corridors. Fortunately, however, Harry's frequent nighttime wanderings had given him an unusually good knowledge of the castle's secret passageways, so that he was able, without too much difficulty, to navigate mistletoe-free routes between classes. Ron, who might have once found the necessity of these detours a cause for jealousy rather than hilarity, simply roared with laughter about it. Although Harry much preferred this new laughing, joking Ron to the moody, aggressive model he had been enduring for the last few weeks, the improved Ron came at a heavy price. First, Harry had to put up with the frequent presence of Lavender Brown, who seemed to regard any moment that she was not kissing Ron as a moment wasted. And secondly, Harry found himself once more the best friend of two people who seemed unlikely to ever speak to each other again. Ron, whose hands and forearms still bore scratches and cuts from Hermione's bird attack, was taking a defensive and resentful tone. "She can't complain," he told Harry. "She snogged Crumb, so she's found out someone wants to snog me too. What's a free country? I haven't done anything wrong." Harry did not answer, but pretended to be absorbed in the book they were supposed to have read before charms next morning. Quintessence, a quest. Determined as he was to remain friends with both Ron and Hermione, he was spending a lot of time with his mouth shut tight. "I never promised Hermione anything," Ron mumbled. "I mean, all right, I was going to go to Slughorn's Christmas party with her, but she never said, just as friends, I'm a free agent." Harry turned a page of Quintessence, aware that Ron was watching him. Ron's voice tailed away in mutters, barely audible over the loud crackling of the fire, though Harry thought he caught the words "Crumb" and "can't complain" again. Hermione's schedule was so full that Harry could only talk to her properly in the evenings, when Ron was, in any case, so tightly wrapped around Lavender that he did not notice what Harry was doing. Hermione refused to sit in the common room while Ron was there, so Harry generally joined her in the library, which meant their conversations were held in whispers. "He's at perfect liberty to kiss whomever he likes," said Hermione, while the librarian, Madame Pince, prowled the shelves behind them. "I really couldn't care less." She raised her quill and dotted an eye so ferociously she punctured a hole in her parchment. Harry said nothing. He thought his voice might soon vanish from lack of use. He bent a little lower over advanced potion-making and continued to make notes on everlasting elixirs, occasionally pausing to decipher the prince's useful additions to Libaceous Borage's text. "And incidentally," said Hermione after a few moments, "you need to be careful." "For the last time," Harry said, speaking in a slightly hoarse whisper after 3/4 of an hour of silence, "I'm not giving back this book. I've learned more from the Half-Blood Prince than Snape or Slughorn have taught me." "I'm not talking about your stupid so-called prince," said Hermione, giving his book a nasty look, as though it had just been rude to her. "I'm talking about earlier. I went into the girls' bathroom just before I came in here, and there were about a dozen girls in there, including Romilda Vane, trying to decide how to slip you a love potion. They're all hoping you're going to take them to Slughorn's party. They all seem to have bought Fred and George's love potions, which I'm afraid to say probably work." "Why didn't you confiscate them, then?" demanded Harry. It seemed extraordinary that Hermione's mania for upholding rules could have abandoned her at this crucial juncture. "They didn't have potions with them in the bathroom," said Hermione scornfully. "They were just discussing tactics. And I doubt whether even the Half-Blood Prince," she gave the book another nasty look, "could dream up an antidote for a dozen different love potions at once. I'd just invite someone to go with you. That'll stop all the others thinking they've still got a chance. It's tomorrow night. They're getting desperate." "There isn't anyone I want to invite," mumbled Harry, who was still trying not to think about Ginny any more than he could help, despite the fact that she kept cropping up in his dreams in ways that made him devoutly thankful that Ron could not perform legitimacy. Well, just be careful what you drink, because Romilda Vane looked like she meant business, said Hermione grimly. She hitched up a long roll of parchment on which she was writing her arithmetic essay and continued to scratch away with her quill. Harry watched her with his mind a long way away. Hang on a moment, she said slowly. I thought Filch had banned anything bought at Weasley's Wizard at Weezes. And when has anyone ever paid attention to anything Filch has banned? Asked Hermione, still concentrating on her essay. But I thought all the owls were being searched, so how come those girls are able to bring love potions into school? Fred and George send them disguised as perfumes and cough potions, said Hermione. It's part of their owl order service. You know a lot about it. Hermione gave him the kind of nasty look she had just given his copy of Advanced Potions Making. It was on all the back of the bottles they showed Ginny and me in the summer, she said coldly. I don't go around putting potions in people's drinks, or pretending to either, which is just as bad. Yeah, never mind that, said Harry quickly. The point is, Filch is being fooled, isn't he? These girls are getting stuff into school disguised as something else. So why couldn't Malfoy have brought the necklace into the school? Oh, Harry, not that again. Come on, why not? Demanded Harry. Look, she sighed. Secrecy sensors detect jinxes, curses, and concealment charms, don't they? They're used to find dark magic and dark objects. They'd have picked up a powerful curse like the one on the necklace within seconds. But something that's just been put in the wrong bottle wouldn't register. And anyway, love potions aren't dark or dangerous. Easy for you to say, muttered Harry, thinking of Romilda Vane. So it'd be down to Filch to realize it wasn't a cough potion. But he's not a very good wizard. I doubt he can tell one potion from... Hermione stopped dead. Harry heard it too. Someone had moved close behind them among the dark bookshelves. They waited, and a moment later, a vulture-like countenance of Madame Pince appeared around the corner, her sunken cheeks, her skin like parchment, and her long, hooked nose illuminated unflatteringly by the lamp she was carrying. The library is now closed, she said. Mind you return anything you have borrowed to the correct... What have you been doing to that book, you depraved boy? It isn't the library's, it's mine, Harry said hastily, snatching his copy of Advanced Potions Making off the table. She lunged at it with a claw-like hand. Spoiled, she hissed, desecrated, befouled. It's just a book that's been written on, said Harry, tucking it out of her grip. She looked as though she might have a seizure. Hermione, who was hastily packing up her things, grabbed Harry by the arm and frog-marched him away. She'll ban you from the library if you're not careful. Why did you have to bring that stupid book? It's not my fault. She's barking mad, Hermione. What do you think she overheard you being rude about Filch? I've always thought there might be something going on between them. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Enjoying the fact they could speak normally again, they made their way across the deserted, lamp-lit corridors, back to the common room, arguing whether or not Filch and Madame Pince were secretly in love with each other. Baubles, Harry said to the fat lady, this being the new festive password. Same to you, said the fat lady with a roguish grin, and she swung forward. And I think we'll stop there.
It's bedtime, baby kitten. I love you so much. Sweet dreams. Good night.